Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. The Chicago Alliance for Life is encouraging pastors to open pro-life pregnancy care centers in their church buildings. The Reverend Charles Moody is already saying yes to that idea. He and his congregation at City Life Center Church are welcoming a pregnancy care center within their facility on Chicago's South Side. Pastor, who are you partnering with, and how did that relationship come about?
Well, in 2022, when the Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade, we had a gentleman from Past Care Network, Steve, the director at the time, came out with Pastor Cesar Lafour, and he shared this concept of putting resource centers inside churches. Another gentleman came, but he wanted to put a resource center across the street from a Planned Parenthood. And I thought that was a good idea too. But one of the things that we really struggle with here in the city is resources. So how would we pay for a building? How would we pay for construction? Who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to pay the rent? And when Steve came with the idea of we could actually do it with inside a church building, I said, this is a no-brainer. It would be easy for us to use space that we're not utilizing anyway during the daytime to place this resource center. And I said, yes. So Past Care Network drafted up an agreement, looked at it, and probably within a year, we launched the first resource center on the South Side of Chicago.
Well, what convinced you to say yes? What was on your heart to say, you know, we got to do this?
Well, one was the Dobbs decision. There was, at the time, a lot of, especially in the pro-life movement, a lot of chairs going on. But what I saw was opportunity for the church to meet a need in our community. Our desire has always been to make abortions unnecessary. And one of the things that we lack in our community is resources. And that was the first thing. How can we support these women in our community and provide resources for them so that they can make an informed decision? So it was really the Dobbs decision that got everything stirring as well. But prior to even moving to Chicago, I was part of a pro-life movement back in New York. And the pro-life movement has always been in the center of our heart. Even here at Chicago City Life Center, we make families know that life starts at conception. And it's something that we always presented. Every Mother's Day, we always have a gift for a mom with the youngest child. And that even includes the child inside the womb. So that's something that we've been practicing for the last 11 years.
So City Life's Pregnancy Care Center has been open for a little while now. Mm-hmm. How's it going? What's the response from the community? And how's your church responding to it?
The church has actually been responding well because they knew this is something that it's not new to them. It's something that I have always presented since I've been here. For some people in our church, they do struggle with, they believe that women are supposed to have a choice, but through conversation and having conversations with them, they're starting to see that we're not trying to take anyone's choice away. I'm big at saying God has given us all free will. But what we really need to do is make sure that we're informing individuals so that they are able to make a valid choice. The community, we always had the support of the community, our church, because we have always been community oriented. We feed the community, we clothe the community, we give out gifts during Christmas time to the community. At Thanksgiving, we have a hot meal, and then we also give out turkeys and groceries during the year. So this church has always been a life-giving church to the community. So no one from the community is ever going to come down to us. How things been going? About 2 weeks ago, we had 8 families come in to get the ultrasound and to take the pregnancy test. And we will call them abortion-minded. And 8 of those individuals, because of the information and the resources that they have received, they decided to keep their child.
Think of that. 8 lives saved. The mental health of moms and dads saved, and their grandchildren saved because of what you're doing right now. Wow. Well, just how great is the need for this facility in your community?
It's great. We're the only one on the South Side of Chicago right now. And the reality is our community does not really know about pregnancy resource centers. I know we're going to probably talk about this a little bit later on in our conversation, but it's not something that the African-American church even speaks about in within their church. So if there was a pregnancy resource center, it's not known where it is, where to go, where's to get the information. And like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Well, let's talk about it now.
All right.
Why isn't the African-American church talking about pregnancy resource centers or the issue of abortion?
Right. I'll tell you, the issue of abortion within the African-American community, it's more political. They see it as a political stand. They see it as a Republican issue, right? In our community, a majority of the folks in the inner cities or in the big cities are Democrats. And you don't want to stir the waters within your church with these type of issues, right? So some of these pastors may be pro-life, but they don't want their church to become a political scene, right? Mm-hmm. The other issue is, I believe, theology. And this is just me personally, I'm just speaking on behalf. I was able to give this some thought. We don't really want to deal with the sexual sin within the church. And by us promoting a pregnancy resource center, I believe we have to admit that our congregants, that our members is possibly having sex outside of marriage.
And we know that Pro-Abortion Inc., mm-hmm. they place abortion centers in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's always been an issue for me, especially because I know the history, right, with the eugenics movement and Margaret Sanger. And the language that they have created have made people feel comfortable to abort their children.
Reproductive health care.
Reproductive health care. Women's rights. And so within our community, everyone said they don't want it to be political, but they have politicized this as well, where they use it as a tact of saying you don't want someone to take your rights away. Remember what happened. This is what your civil rights were. Yeah. And you don't want someone else to take it away. But it's always been a community that have been targeted. 38% of abortions take place within the African-American community. And for me, sometimes I'm thinking, those who are studying history, not asking the question, how can a community or a race that's only 13% of the population be 38% of the abortions, the most within the community? And if you really take a good look at it, you would have to answer that question with, they're being targeted.
Well, they're being targeted. Let me ask you, what needs are being met here and what still needs to be met? You talked about ultrasounds, so what else?
So we get pregnancy tests as well for those moms who may be anxious and don't know. I thank God that we're the first people to tell individuals that they are pregnant. And when they're going through that crisis, that moment of crisis, that we're able to pray with them and let them know that there's a God in heaven that will supply for all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if you don't know him, we could introduce you to him. But we also want those families to know that we don't just want to give them a pregnancy test, but we want to support them. So here we also provide support for families with children 3 years and under. So after these individuals have babies or new clients who have children that's three and under, we provide clothing, we provide formula, diapers. If they need strollers, we provide strollers for them as well. And we provide parental coaching as well at the same time. So we don't leave folks by themselves, because what our community needs is support.
And you mentioned that you pray with these folks. Mm-hmm. Such a big spiritual element to all this.
Right.
My goodness, if you don't start there.
Yeah. And one of the things is, like, I always tell people, I don't have enough time to do good things, right? We need to do God things. We need things that only God could do. And that prayer is one of those elements. We introduce them to the church. A majority of the time, if I'm in the building and the dad is here while the mom is in the examination room, I'll make sure that I come up and speak to the dad just to let him know that there's another man here who had children, who raised children. I have two boys. I have a 23-year-old and a 21-year-old, and I raised them right here in the inner cities. My youngest son, he's graduating from college this year. My older son lives in Hyde Park and works in a restaurant. So to take that fear out, to say you can be a dad right here in the community and be committed to your family.
You bring up an issue, being a dad in this community, mm-hmm. and A little later on, I want to talk about fatherlessness in your community. But let's talk about this. You said that the abortion issue in the African-American church here in your community, this is Englewood, right?
Correct.
It's a political issue. Has the long arm of government said, wait a second, you can't put a pregnancy care center in your church? Are they making it difficult for you to keep this going?
No, not yet.
Once they hear this, maybe they will. Yeah.
Not yet, but we've been able to probably do a lot of things in our community that other people haven't been able to do because of the relationship that we have, even with the government, right? We may not agree politically on the same values, but they do see that we are we're a church that's really trying to bring support to our community. So the government has not yet interfered with what we're doing here. We're just helping folks.
The governor and the Illinois Attorney General wanted to really kind of put the screws on pregnancy care centers.
Right.
Thankfully, the court said, no, I can't do that. But that had to raise some red flags for you when you were making a decision about putting a pregnancy care center within your church.
I mean, I thought about it, but I also believe that this is God-ordained things. And if God called us to do it, he's going to take care of it. And within a few months to hear that that decision, the case was dropped. And that's just showing me, like just even confirming that this is something we have to do.
Well, you're blessing a lot of people, but do you feel blessed by having this pregnancy care center? Do you think your congregation is being blessed by this?
I know I'm personally being blessed. I don't know if you know, Monty, that I was a part of abortion as well. The information that I know now, I did not know then. I know that God has forgiven me, but if I could stop as much people as possible from making that decision that I made over 20 years ago, that's what we want to do. The congregation, they are blessed too, because I believe that they see that we're doing something that really makes a difference in people's lives, that we're not just doing, you know, churchy things. We're doing things that's going to affect people's future generation. I believe that the church is blessed by this as well, of seeing that we're doing something that's never been done really within our community.
And you think about the children who will be born and how they will bless this nation.
Yep, I believe it.
Well, what's your message to pastors and congregations who are more than a little hesitant about putting a pregnancy care center within their church? They've got a million and one probably good reasons. Oh, right. They're worried about insurance and how are we going to staff it? Oh, some of these people that would come in will be troublemakers. You know, you've heard it all. What's your message?
Well, I would say my church is not a large congregation, one. So if anyone is ever concerned about resources, one, we do serve a God that would provide. But if we could do it, we're in a church in the inner city, in the Englewood community. If we could do it, I believe that any church of any size could do it, because we all have space that we could partner with. The legal issues, I would also say we have to put God first. We have to put God first over our political stance. We have to put God first, even over our concerns with our congregation. Do you believe that this pregnancy resource center is something that would put a smile upon God's face? See, that's my life purpose, is that I put a smile on my Heavenly Father's face. And if I could put a smile on my Heavenly Father's face, if God is looking down upon us right now and he sees this pregnancy resource center and it puts a smile on his face, it just hypes me up that I want to even do more.
Yeah, right. Makes it all worthwhile.
It makes it all worthwhile. And I just believe that we have to put God first. This is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. This is an issue of life and death.
Pastor Moody, you have a God-inspired bigger vision. That's becoming a reality,
right,
slowly but surely. And we want to talk about that after a brief time out.
All right.
America's chaplain faces jail time for the crime of being an American. Chaplain Stephen Lee tells his story 6:30 p.m. Friday, March 15th at the Church of Christian Liberty in Arlington Heights. Find out more at IllinoisFamily.org.
We're going to fight this thing. This is bigger than me.
When disasters strike, Chaplain Lee provides pastoral care. He comforted after 9/11, Columbine, and when 2020 election fraud charges surfaced in Georgia, he offered spiritual help and guidance, but a left-wing prosecutor wants to silence him.
This transcends politics, things like faith, family, and freedom. So we're going to stand.
Help Chaplain Lee fight for freedom. Join him 6:30 p.m. Friday, March 15th at the Church of Christian Liberty in Arlington Heights. Find out more at IllinoisFamily.org. IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks once again for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Monty Larrick here, and I'm joined by the Reverend Charles Moody, the pastor of Chicago City Life Center Church, where we are holding this conversation. Pastor, when I Googled Chicago City Life Center, your website said, changing our city one life at a time. Mm-hmm. Well, beyond the Pregnancy Resource Center that we've already talked about, how's City Life doing that?
Other than the Pregnancy Center.
Yeah.
So changing our city one life at a time, our motto is reaching folks right where they are, right? So we do outreaches in the community where we feed folks directly on the streets. We're involved in the public school weekly, where we go into the public school and just build relationship with the students and invite them to come out back to the church during our service times, where we can share Jesus with them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also mentor them as well, because we understand that students that have mentors tend to live a life, a successful life. So we want to mentor them as well within the community. We work with the park and recreation, the police department, wherever there's life, that's where we want to be, especially areas where there may be folks who's struggling. We want them to know that there's hope that we want to bring. So we have services here as well throughout the week. And this is where we disciple, train individuals, and let them know that God wants to use them as well.
You go into the public schools. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they let you because, my goodness, you're not a wokester.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How's that work?
Well, we go in and we meet the needs of the public school. In the inner cities, we don't have the resources that other places need, and sometimes the principal need resources that the church could provide. And if that's someone who's standing outside with the kids during recess so they're not fighting each other, that's what we do. We go into the public school and we provide services. What do you need? And we don't go in there saying that we're gonna bring our Bibles and preach in every class, but we go in there meeting the needs of our community, because we don't just want to be a church in the community. We want to be a church that's part of the community.
And I imagine some of the kids saying, Pastor, what church are you at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, we have a Tuesday night service where we feed the community, feed them a nice hot meal. So we had about maybe 8 students from that school who joined us last night without their parents. They walked here on their own. And then after service, what I tend to do is say, hey, if you guys behave yourself during service, I'll open a gym for you and you'll be able to play basketball for an additional hour. And I'll personally bring them back home to their houses.
Wow. I know you have a preschool here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts about maybe expanding that beyond preschool?
Me personally, I'll pray for somebody else to expand it. My wife's trying to tell me, oh, yeah, I got a lot on my plate. I'm dreaming big. But we started this preschool with the purpose of helping moms and dads get back to work. I believe in models. And the family structure is that model that kids tend to look up to. So I believe if moms and dads are either going to work or going to school, and children are watching their moms and dads go to work or go to school, it would already be automatic. I grew up with parents that worked, right? Went to school. There was no question whether I would get a job or go to school. It was already inside of me. So we started this preschool over 9 years ago to help parents, and we give them scholarships while they're looking for work or going back to school. And once they get a job, we're licensed by the state that they'll be able to get subsidized childcare.
And you have a mentoring program, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the kids don't have a good father in the home.
Correct.
It's a big problem in the African-American community, mm-hmm. but it's becoming a big problem out in white suburbia as well.
Right.
Your thoughts?
I thank God that I had my dad, right, growing up. I had a dad that, I always tell people, every night he came home, wasn't abusive, was very affirming, supportive in all that we did. One thing I would say, since I've been here in the community, and I, like I said, I believe in model. I have a lot of guys. So we've been opening a gym here in the community every Friday from about 7 to 10 for the last 10 years. Some of those guys have witnessed me being a dad to my children. And even though those guys aren't married, I see these young men trying to take care of their children. They actually bring their kids to the gym while they're playing basketball. And I just really, really believe that if we could get dads in the lives of the children, we will see some of the crime and some of the things that we're seeing in our community really die down.
Politicians don't want to talk about fatherlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
It keeps them paid, right?
Explain.
If you could continue to provide support for these single family homes, who's going to keep voting you back in, right? If I keep giving you a carrot every time you need it, that's just continue to promote this fatherlessness. And in our culture, they want women to be independent, right? But God didn't design women to be independent. I understand that some women need to be independent, need to be strong, but that was not the Creator's design for women to be independent. And I believe this is where the church really needs to step up and to let women know, right, that this was not God's design, even though our culture and our society is saying, hooray, hooray. But the reality is the struggle is so much greater, not just for the mother, but also for the children that we see impacted by the fatherless homes.
Right. Well, before the break, we mentioned that you have a big, big vision
mm-hmm.
for a maternity house.
Yes.
Run by your church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just going to be a little house.
No.
We're talking about something big here.
Correct.
Where are you in that project?
So we are in the second phase, ending the second phase of the project. That's the blueprints, the working drawings, how much everything is going to actually cost, how many sheetrocks you're going to need, nails, electricity, all of those things. So we're coming to the end of the second phase of that project.
But there's a lot more to go.
Mm-hmm.
You need to raise funds for this.
Yes. So the project is estimated to cost about $6 to $7 million. We have an old convent building we had since 1991, and really just praying, what should we do with this building? It's over 14,000 square feet, a three-story building with a basement. We will be able to house 15 to 18 women with their children, where they will be able to stay for up to 3 years, where they have counseling, because we understand that some of our women have gone through trauma. So we will have licensed counselors deal with the trauma. We will have a mother who lives in the house with these women that will teach them how to be mothers, how to budget, how to, like, you know, life skills, how to cook, how to prepare a meal, how to take care of their children. And they will be able to get this coaching up to 3 years, and then also be pushed as well to go back to school or to find a career, right? We don't want women to just have a career or go back to school. But then the other thing too is chasing dads, right? I tell people, I really want to go after these fathers to let them know how much their children need them, right? And if the mom and dad is still together, but they just don't have their support, we want to create a system that we could support the mom and dad if they get married. If they decide to get married, we will create a system where they will be able to have subsidized assistance to help them and teach them how to save and plan, not to go back into renting, but how they could purchase their own property.
And you'll be teaching the folks who will be coming to this maternity home to eventually have their own home where the Bible is open.
Yes. Yep. One of the key components, like I said, I'm not here to just do good things. I want to do God things. And the whole purpose of this is to really bring folks to the feet of Jesus Christ. We don't want to just do something good without the gospel. Jesus said, what is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? So we don't just want people to be successful financially, but we want people to be successful in every aspect. I say this all the time, that Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe that abundant life is not just financial. I believe that abundant life is in the household, the family structure. I believe that abundant life is physical, mental, financial. I believe it's spiritual. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave so that folks would live an abundant life.
So you've got this big need for this maternity home. How can people help? How can the Spotlight audience help this project?
Well, one, I would say pray. right? We need prayer. We understand that once the word really gets out, that we're going to most likely have enemies from all sides coming. So we need the prayers of those of the spotlight to support us in that area. But also we need resources, right? We talked about the Pregnancy Resource Center. We need resources. We need financial resources as well. The design of the building is a way that will capture the heart of mothers when they come in. They will come into a building that's not just taking life, but it's a building that's giving life. So we are trying to be green where we have solar panels and retention water to reuse water and all that other good stuff. We need resources. We need finances where people could directly give through National Builders. You'll look us up through National Builders at the Southside Lifehouse, and they could give directly through that as well. We're looking for connections as well. There's people who know individuals that's major funders for projects like that who I do not know. And we would love to get in front of some of these major funders and share the things that we're doing and see if they could support the project, foundations and all of that.
How do people connect with you? If mm-hmm. they want to get involved, they want to know more.
Right. You can find us on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, you'll find us. You type in the Southside Lifehouse. If you type in Google search, the SouthsideLifehouse.org, you will be able to find our organization and find all of the details of everything that's going on. And we would love to add you to our newsletter so you can understand and know what's going on a monthly basis as well.
Well, when do you hold church services here? Mm-hmm. And if people want to come to see your church, mm-hmm. see you preach,
yep.
tell us.
Yeah, so every Sunday we have service here at 11:30 a.m. And then also on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we also have service as well. That's our dinner service. So come with your appetite. We'll love to feed you and sit with you and get to know you.
Pastor Charles Moody, thank you so much for what you're doing. God bless.
Thank you.
Once again, if people want to connect.
You could reach me here at Chicago City Life Center. We're located at 5501 South LaSalle Street. That's 5501 South LaSalle Street. You can reach us on the telephone at 773-324-2055. Or you can email me, if you do email, at charles@chicagocitylifecenter.org. That's charles@chicagocitylifecenter.org. Or you can find me on Facebook as well, Charles Moody with an I-E, not a Y. So Charles Moody, M-O-O-D-I-E. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
The Reverend Charles Moody, the pastor of Chicago City Life Center Church, and do support this work with your prayers and your finances. Please join the Illinois Family Institute for our Worldview Conference at the Village Church of Barrington, Saturday, March 2nd. We're going to be talking about reclaiming biblical manhood. It's going to be interesting. Three speakers. We hope you'll attend. If you'd like more information, go to illinoisfamily.org, click events. Do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Also, go to our homepage, illinoisfamily.org, for voter resources. A lot of good help there. All right, take care, and until next time, tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.